Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And your phone call right there. Come join us. New Life.
Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. He is the author of Loving People, Boundaries, Boundaries in Dating, Boundaries in Marriage. And Dr. Jill Hubbard is the author of The Secrets That Women Keep and The Secrets That Young Women Keep. She's an award-winning author already. And all of those resources, my latest book, Regret-Free Living, all of that is available at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. John, in your boundary stuff, probably, I think, the most valuable piece of boundary literature is working with the resistant spouse. I think that is such
Sometimes that's a redundancy.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Talk about boundaries with a resistant spouse where you want to get well, you want the relationship to be super, and guess what? There's somebody hanging out that
it's
doesn't.
Like every other call we get, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, there's a natural inertia to everybody. You know, why should I change when I've got my 50-inch screen and good meals, and then the spouse goes, I really want to get into growth and telling the truth to each other and being free to make choices and allowing each other space and all that. And then one goes, we were doing pretty good. There's a natural inertia. And so you either have somebody who says that, or they say, I've got a habit I don't want to stop, or I enjoy controlling you.
Or why should I change
when
the other person has the problem?
Right, right. And really, that's God's. I mean, that's how he feels towards us, too. Like, get into growth, get into change, and we sort of like, no, let me live my life. And the best thing you can do when you've got somebody in your life who doesn't, is kind of pushing back against the, let me tell the truth and make choices, is to, and we talked about this last show, is to come to them and show them that what you want is a better we. This isn't about me changing you. You're not a project to me. What I want is intimacy.
Yeah.
I married you for intimacy. I've lost some of it. As Jill said last show, I want to get the we back. And so all this stuff we're going to do about the truth and honesty and choices, this should make it even more cool for us to be together.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I know somebody that's so resistant, they don't want to read the Bible because they don't want to learn something else that they have to do. So they say, I'm satisfied with what I know today. I don't want to learn anymore. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty tough resistance to break through when you don't even want to read God's Word because you don't want to have something revealed to you.
So they feel really overwhelmed?
That's where I was going.
Everything feels like a demand?
They're not looking at the Bible and saying there's life here.
Right.
There's a fountain of water here. There's something.
This will lighten my load.
It's a to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
So
you,
I would go deeper.
You feel like that they feel overloaded.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, overwhelmed. I think they're just being a jerk, but I'm going to go with you. I think that's really the right answer there. Well, jerk or not, we'd love to talk with you. We love getting to do this, and we're so grateful for all of the folks that support us when we do. And like right now, one of the ways you can support us is to pray for us as we come back from this break. We're going to go to our phone calls. When you need help with something or someone you know needs help. Maybe they're dropping things indiscriminately, and they need help picking it up. Well, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go right to newlife.com, and there are resources available just for you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com.
Now, we can't do this without you, and so we're asking for your support and a gift of any amount. I'll send you this brand new, exciting Bible story book that Marcus Brotherton and I put together. It's called Kirby McCook and the Jesus Chronicles. It's for anybody 8 to 12, and the subtitle is a 12-year-old's take on the totally unboring, slightly weird stuff in the Bible, including fish guts, wrestling moves, and stinky feet. I think your kids, your grandkids, will love it. It's our way of saying thank you to you.
All right, we'll take this break, and we'll come back with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and Steve Arterburn here. We'll talk to you on the other side of this break. Glad you're with us today.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Jill Hubbard. We're going straight to the phone calls over here, and it's Sarah from Washington, D.C. WAVA is the station. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to New Life.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. Speak right up there, and we're glad that you've joined us today. What's going on?
I hear a term that you refer to, sexual kidnapping, and I want to understand it more.
Okay. Yeah, that's they could mean a lot of things, but when we use it, we're referring to people that are dating, and they want the relationship to continue under any terms. They're desperate, and are there the on the other side? They're dating someone who is very aggressive sexually. So, as Christians, you get involved sexually and you feel bad about it, and the only way that you can justify it is, well, we're going to get married anyway. That doesn't make it right, but you kind of tell yourself it makes you right, and you end up sexually kidnapped. In other words, the act of premarital sex kind of binds you into the relationship, and you get married, and 6 months later, you're looking back saying, wow, I don't even like this person. I wasn't emotionally connected. It was all about the sex. That's what we refer to as sexual kidnapping. Does that make sense to you?
It does, but in the context of my situation, I'm a little confused when you put it that way. The reason why I'm asking is I'm trying to reconnect with an ex-boyfriend whom I think has been sexually kidnapped by the person that he's sleeping with, that he's ashamed to call a girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
She would do whatever it takes to keep him that way. But
so you'd call her a sexual kidnapper then? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
But
yes,
why are you interested? Why are you interested in somebody that's?
Up,
why are you interested in somebody that's sleeping with somebody else?
I'm sorry?
Why are you interested in going with someone who's sleeping with someone?
I don't have proof.
Oh.
And we have a child together. And this is...
Now, old boyfriend...
I don't have 100% sure.
Yeah, old boyfriend versus we had a child together. Those are very, very distinct descriptions there. Okay, what's the question for us then?
Is it possible for a grown man to be kidnapped like that, who did not have a mother figure growing up?
Sure.
And,
it's possible for a man. It's possible for a woman. Let's hear from John and Jill about that. What do you think?
Hey, Sarah?
Yes.
I think you are making him into a child and a victim, and you're disempowering this man that you desire. You follow
me? I'm sorry, can you...
Sarah, you're concerned that he's under some spell
right.
or is kidnapped
yes.
by this other woman.
We disagree with what you're saying.
Right, because it puts all of the onus on the other woman, and he bears no responsibility then.
As soon as I can go find this wicked witch and get her to take her sexual claws out of him, then he'll be mine again, and we think that that's not going to help you.
The only way you can be sexually kidnapped is being a willing partner.
Right.
You see, you don't...
Got to sign up for the course.
It's the sexuality that does the kidnapping, right?
Yeah.
So if he's
being sexually kidnapped, it's because he decided to go sleep with somebody, and now it's quite a quandary to get out of that, even if he wanted to. But
he's a mess, and why do you want him back, and why can't you go find some healthy guys and have a great life?
Okay, but she has a child with him, so it's a perfect example, Sarah, that you have invested so much that it's too hard to let go. So sexually, you were involved with him in a way that caused you to get sucked in. And I think what's really hard is to look at the reality that it's kind of like this guy is cheating on you, or this guy has gone off and he's doing the same thing with somebody else. And you're saying, but I invested so much and we have this child. And it's hard to look at that maybe he's not such a great guy that wants to be with you and do the right thing.
You know, there was a time every time teenagers got, someone got pregnant from the other one, it was, well, they got to get married. And then some wisdom prevailed, and people started saying, well, maybe just because this child showed up, maybe the best thing isn't for marriage to take place. Now, you're an older person, and it's almost like you're saying, well, since we have the child, all reason goes out the window. I would give you two words, move on. I don't think it's the direction to go.
But I think that may be the problem. Sarah, are you feeling like it's hard to move on? Like you can't get past this?
It's not. I don't have 100% proof about this relationship. And so that's why it's really hard for me to bring this up.
But you don't trust
him. But my gut feeling, this is what's taking place.
But Sarah, why don't you get out there and meet some people and have somebody who falls in love with you and who you are and is pursuing you rather than you sitting around trying to figure out whether this guy's sleeping with someone. John, your thoughts here?
Sarah, I kind of have the same concerns that the other guys have about what you're going through. Sexual whatever is always rooted in some kind of dependency. So either he's a dependent guy and, you know, you don't want a guy like that who hasn't gotten well, or he's not doing that with her, but at the same time, now he's not pursuing and you're the dependent one. So we really want to push you out into a great world of dating and healthy people and somebody knocking on your door and saying, I want you because you got great capacities, and so we want you to kind of let it go.
Right, but Sarah, are you with this guy? I'm unclear.
No,
you're not.
We are actually not together.
You're not together, okay.
Our pastor is trying to sit us down and go through, you know, through
kind
this.
Kind of co-parenting
stuff? Can be worked out. But this is one thing that I'm very concerned about because he didn't have a mother growing up, and she's more like a mother figure.
Okay, so Sarah,
he's ashamed of calling her a girlfriend, but he...
Sarah, let me stop you.
Hold on, Sarah.
Let me stop you because you keep going towards analyzing him, and I totally get that it feels like he's the missing piece, and you could be a couple, two parents, a family. But you're over-focusing on him instead of looking at how you ended up in this position and what you need to do for you and your child.
All right, I'm going to send you a copy of Avoiding Mr. Wrong, and I hope that that will be helpful to you. Anything else you think would help her look inside?
It's so hard.
Now what do I do is a good system for her to see there's a problem.
This is one of John's new books, Now What Do I Do? And it's a beauty, and everybody ought to read this book because – essentially tells you when you're in a quandary, here's the next step. You know, so often we talk about do the next right thing. Well, this tells you, okay, here's the next right thing, or gives you kind of a step-by-step way of getting to the next right thing. So that's coming your way. Now What Do I Do? By Dr. John Townsend.
Can I point out something we just experienced?
Sure, you bet.
This is just a good kind of a teaching thing for our listening family, is when you have a struggle and you're talking to someone, and the answer is always but he or but she.
Yeah.
Everybody should get a couple of those. You know,
right.
You've got a knucklehead in your life, or they're controlling,
right,
or detached, or the little boy, or the little girl.
And you need to talk about it.
And you need to talk about it. But if it doesn't get back to curiosity about what am I doing, how am I responding, what's hooking me in, you've got a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So after two or three, if it doesn't get back to me, you need to say, okay, I am looking at something outside my skin that's not going to get me anywhere.
Yeah. And if she could believe that this man is caught up in a relationship, he doesn't really want to be there, and she's focused on that, she never has to deal with, wow, if I met somebody else, they might reject me.
I'm insecure, I'm lonely, yeah. I'm shame-based.
So you just get all this stuff up in your head, and it's like a little chipmunk. No, it's like a hamster in a little cage running up there, and that's going so fast, there's nothing else that can get up there.
Help your friends that you're having your Starbucks counseling sessions with, when they keep saying, but he or but she, just... You know, kind of get to their butt.
Here's the way John says it. Whoa, 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 whoa. He says, just say that to your friend. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's
whoa,
a technical psychological.
Yes, yes, that is. Or like you said, give them and say, okay, for 10 minutes, just talk. Tell me everything rotten thing about this guy or everything you know about this guy.
Externalize everything. Go.
Yeah, go. I'm going to listen. And now, okay.
Talk about you. All right, let's talk with Lynn from Cincinnati, Ohio. WCVX is the station. Hello, Lynn. Welcome.
Hi.
What's going on with you?
Oh, wow. I don't want you to say Lynn. I want advice.
Okay.
About that.
You don't want the three Lynn technique?
No, I don't want
Lynn. All right. Well,
so you got it out of the way now.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Lynn, you're thinking one step ahead.
All right. How can we help?
Thank you. I believe my daughter is drinking to excess. She's 23. She doesn't live in our home. The signs I see, I smell, and bottles and the recycling, and mostly what I'm concerned about is that she repeats herself quite a bit, and that's a concern to me, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but my husband, you know, believes what I'm saying, he's supportive and everything like that, since he can't smell, and he hasn't seen the alcohol, and I mostly talk to her on the phone.
Your husband has no sense of smell?
Please?
Your husband has no sense of smell?
Right.
Okay, so you notice this more than he does.
Hey, just to give us some context, when you look at recycling, what's there? What's she drinking, and how many empty bottles?
I mean, there are gin bottles every week.
Oh gosh,
There aren't a lot of women who have bottles of hard liquor in the recycle.
New ones every week.
Yeah. There are not a
lot
of women.
She's going from trash can to trash can.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And I would say that what you see in the trash can is going to be the tip of the iceberg, because she doesn't just drink at home.
Yes.
Okay, so, and one of the things that we've learned here is that the alcoholic isn't somebody that can't drink. It's somebody that can. Look at how much she can drink. I mean, she's drinking. Look at how much she can put in her system. Mm-hmm. And that eventually, you know, your body isn't meant to detoxify a fifth of gin every couple of days. So you end up with a toxic brain, really messed up. That's why you see her repeating herself, is the short-term memory is blocked off by the toxicity of the brain. They call it wet brain. So I would say, let's just go with 100% that your daughter at 23 is an alcoholic.
So, Lynn, have you had the talk?
No.
I didn't think you'd had the talk.
That's why she didn't want us to say
so
Lynn.
So why haven't
Lynn,
you
Lynn.
Had the talk, Lynn?
Well, thank you. No, what I think I want to go to AA. I don't.
No, you want to go to Al-Anon.
Al-Anon. I always get confused on those.
Al-Anon.
I want to do that.
Hey, Lynn, you've got a lot of emotion about this.
Yeah,
What are the emotions about?
Excuse me, say that again.
Said we're hearing a lot of emotion in your voice. What's that about?
I think the things are obvious, but when you said alcoholic, that just
it hurts.
My feet just it just was awful.
Well, now let me talk to you about that for a minute. A lot of times when we hear the word alcoholic, we think of someone laying out in the gutter, on the curb, and so we reject that stereotype.
No.
But when I think of alcoholic, I think of someone with a problem that probably has a higher recovery rate than just about anything else. Mm-hmm. That if you want to recover from this, you can. If you get so desperate and you have people help you, you can get over it, versus hearing that your daughter has cancer, inoperable brain tumor. Now, that's something to feel really horrible about. But your daughter has something a lot of people fall into. They have it. I think there's actually some predisposition that that sets them up for it. They drink for the same reason a lot of other people drink, but the alcohol does something different in their body, and they get hooked on it and addicted. So the question is, how are we going to get help for her?
Okay.
Now, what's your husband think? Does he think she needs help or not?
Okay. So my husband sees if it doesn't affect her work life, and she has a steady job, she's always worked, if it doesn't affect her work life, and she's ill-kempt and things like that, then it's not a problem.
Let me tell you, that is just pure stupidity.
But it's really, Lynn, just like it's really hard to accept the reality.
I can accept it. I mean, it's hard.
But look at this. What about her driving life? Okay, she doesn't drive. All right.
I'm just worried about a family that your daughter grew up in where you just can't say, just off the cuff, I think you're drinking too much. Can I talk to you about it? There's so much angst involved here. Like, you guys grew up so careful, or they're fragile, or we want to be positive, or we don't want to be negative. You've got to break that culture and get into a truthful culture with your daughter.
Okay, great. This is fantastic.
Okay, hold on. We'll help you right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. John Townsend, Steve Arterburn here. Come join us.
Most of my life I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. We're talking with Lynn from Cincinnati. And so, Lynn, what are you thinking at the break there about what we've said so far?
Okay. I have three questions for you, Steve.
Okay.
One is, I let someone borrow my having that difficult conversation. I think John Townsend wrote that.
He did, yes.
So, my husband needs to have this conversation. And I don't want to, you said it was stupidity, and my husband, he isn't stupid, and I know you're not calling my husband stupid.
Well, no, I was just wanting to make the point.
I know.
You just can't evaluate it based on work, because she can get hit by a truck, or she can jump in a car, make irrational decisions.
Well, people can function for a long time.
Hit her head on the bathroom and die because she doesn't realize the effect of the alcohol, because probably she's not getting drunk. She can drink so well, she doesn't get drunk anymore. Okay.
So what specifically should he, how should he approach this?
Well, I would not agree with your premise, Lynn.
Okay.
Your husband doesn't think she has a problem. Your daughter might be in trouble. I want you to do this. And why are you not wanting to do this?
I don't agree with this premise either. And I talked to him last week, and I said no.
I don't agree with Lynn's premise. The person I'm talking to, you.
Okay,
I don't agree
ahead.
With your premise. Your premise is my husband needs to do this, and he's doesn't get it that she might be an alcoholic, but he needs to kind of like learn about this. I'm thinking you're going to waste a lot of time, and your daughter might be in trouble. So you be the grown up and you do it, and talk to your husband later about we need to have more forthright conversations.
Well, right. I mean, I like the idea that you are turning to your husband to say, come on, I want to pull you in on this. Mm-hmm. But if he's not there yet, you have to move forward.
You got to move forward.
Okay, tell me how to do this.
Okay, maybe you go to her and you say, honey, I have been concerned about you. And I was kind of concerned that, you know, maybe there were some things going on and all. But I've learned that I think you've got a condition.
Hold it. Right before Steve goes into that, Lynn, you say, Cynthia, do I have permission to speak freely to you, sweetheart?
Okay, great.
Ooh, that's good. Good, mm-hmm. John.
And now mm-hmm. she goes, well, yeah, Mom, tell me anything.
Well,
now
and,
you go into Steve's deal.
Okay, maybe even to say, John, as you were hinting to, that, you know, in our family, we haven't always
spoken freely.
We kind of tiptoe around things.
So you deal with all that stuff, and she goes,
and I'm so
eggshells,
sorry.
Tiptoe. And
don't
then,
you want to be refreshingly honest with each other and blah, blah, blah? And she goes, well, you know, actually, yeah, I would like that. And now it's all out.
So do I have permission?
And now we go the Steve route.
And then you say, I think you've got a condition where you're able to drink better than other people. That means you're able to hold so much alcohol that I think you've kind of gotten hooked on it, that it's not doing for you what it's doing for other people, and it takes more and more, and I want to help you, because if you don't deal with it now, it could really get out of hand. So you're saying to her, you're not out of hand, you're not out of control.
You're not calling her an alcoholic, which people usually reject.
Just call it a problem. It's a problem. You don't have to call it a disease or alcoholism. It's a problem. And then you say to her, by the way, I've been going to Al-Anon. I'm learning so much, and I want to go to a meeting with you, or an AA meeting, you could say, or just say a meeting, a Celebrate Recovery meeting, so that you're coming alongside her as a friend and a mother, not mm-hmm. a condemning human being. And you got to get every bit of condemnation out of you.
Well, yeah. Would you be willing to go with me to learn about it, to see?
The only reason,
any way you can get her to go.
Yeah, the only reason she wouldn't want to learn about it is because she's defending herself against the stereotype that you had about alcoholism.
Now, this is going to go one of two ways then. There are a lot of people, and the three of us have seen thousands of these, Lynn, mm-hmm. where she'll go, I am so relieved. It's out. I feel like I've lost 20 pounds. Oh, my gosh. I'm not all by myself. And, you know, thank you so much. And you've won, as the Bible says, you've won your brother, Matthew 18. Or she can get prickly and you're mean and you're controlling, but that's a different story. But this is the approach to start with.
That's right.
I think I'm good on the loving and not condemning. I think I'm good on that if I just get too emotional. So if I look at the chapters in How to Have the Difficult Conversation, and I've read so many of your books, and, you know, Regret-Free Living and all of that, there's a book called The Last Addiction that you all have not read. Have not written, and along with AA, I think I can go that way if it's just not
Al-Anon.
Emotional. But let me ask you something else.
Okay,
now.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
So I thought about it's not AA, it's alcohol and
Al-Anon. Al-Anon.
Right. Yeah. So if I have hinted, this is my thing, I have hinted about New Life Live a lot with her, and I'm wondering, you know, I've called a couple times about it, the one that's going to be in Indianapolis.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering if there's a session there that can deal with that. I know a lot of alcoholics.
Well, I can, you know, I'm gonna play something for you later. I think I can do it. A testimony of a lady who had to have a couple of drinks just to go.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Okay. And so then she leaves there saying, I'm a sex addict, I'm an alcoholic. So there is the possibility that she would go and then be more open to identify herself as having a problem.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lynn, Jill said something interesting and it was really helpful. I hope you paid attention to it. She said, do you want to learn about something? When we learn about something, we're kind of going from good to great. Mm-hmm. When we say you're an alcoholic, you're screwed up, you're broken, and a person isn't ready to hear that, then they're going from dysfunctional to good. Help her with the learning part. That might be all she needs. You may have to get stronger later, but start with the get informed, honey.
Yeah. Most alcoholics are gainfully employed. They're out there working. And the, what we see in the movies and all is the downside, and we don't want to see that
long-term effect.
Yeah, we don't want to see that. Well, you want to intervene with her so that this is where it ends, where there is no major horrible problem. Your husband's not doing her a favor by denying it.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Everybody wants to be happy, but the problem is so many of us are stuck in the struggles of life and weighed down by our past hurts and mistakes. If you want to learn how to become a happier you, join us for this year's Life Recovery Conference.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here, and a lot of times I hear people say, you know, recovery just isn't for me, I'm not an addict. Well, actually, recovery is for everyone. If you're struggling in any area, you don't have to be an addict to do better when you surrender and take the steps to a happier life.
12 Steps to Happier with speakers Steve Arterburn, Dr. Dave Stoop, Chris Williams, Becky Brown, Jack West, and Amanda Anderson on Saturday, October 5th at Mariners Church in Irvine.
Come join me and our team of speakers for a day filled with wisdom and practical help.
12 Steps to Happier, October 5th at Mariners Church in Irvine. To register, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or visit liferecoverygroups.com. That's 1-800-639-5433 or liferecoverygroups.com.
To find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. John Townsend. Let's talk with Susie from Orlando, Florida. WTLN is the station. Hi, Susie.
Hey, how are you doing?
Pretty well today. How about you?
Not bad.
Okay, well, what's going on?
Yeah, I have a couple of things. I'm a little overwhelmed right now, and I can't shake it off like I usually do.
Okay, what's overwhelming you?
Well, I was divorced after 20 years.
Sorry. Mm.
And I've been in my house, and I've been doing modifications for 3 years, knowing that the day was coming that came the other day, that I'm going to be losing my house to a foreclosure.
Oh, sorry.
And I knew it's coming, and I've dealt with the grief, and it's been a nice, slow process for 3 years. But, you know, there's a lot of different ways it can go, and I'm having a difficult time with the decision process. You know, just walking away, letting it foreclose. I could stay even longer by doing a bankruptcy, which would keep me from having all that expense with the IRS.
Are you asking Susie, are you asking a financial wisdom question, or are you asking, as I'm making the decision, I have emotional issues question?
Right. The decision, I know you were smart enough to make the financial thing, but I get so many different opinions on that. I guess I'm trying to hear what God wants, because I don't want what I want.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I just want to hear from God. And I've got so many voices in my head. I wake up in the night, and I think about it. You know, my thoughts wake me up in the night, which I never usually... I usually can sleep pretty good, but I'm getting a lot of, interference.
Okay. So more, how do I make this decision in a way that works with God's ways and stuff? Kind of like, how do I do this? Okay.
And is this the house that you lived in with your husband?
Yes, and my daughter, I had a daughter involved who's going to be graduating from high school, and I was hoping to stay there until she graduates, which we made it. I mean, if we had to move right now, she could still finish in her school. So right. I've met my goals.
Okay.
It would be nice to stay there the rest of the year, but I'm not sure.
Okay. I want to talk to you about two things.
Okay.
Willingness and ability. All right?
Okay. Okay.
So if you have total willingness but no ability, like to pay your debts, and it's going to cause tremendous difficulty, then bankruptcy doesn't, in my mind, doesn't absolve you from the debt, but it protects you from the people you owe the money to taking control of your life, so that over time you could pay off that debt in a more reasonable way. If bankruptcy helps you keep your house, then you've got the ability, you say you've got the ability for your daughter to finish school, and you've got some ability, then that could be a way to actually, over time, having paid the debt that you owe, and come out looking pretty good. But if you have willingness and ability also, you may not need to declare bankruptcy. If it's just the house, that when it goes away, then you're okay. You can rent a place, and then you're okay. Then you got to look at that option too. The bank loaned you money; they essentially have owned the house from the very beginning. And essentially, if you can't make that payment, you're giving them. You're not really walking away. You're giving them back the house that they kind of already own. Is the way I look at it.
So, right. Yeah. Me
so
too.
It's complicated. And, you know, some people will say, well, don't declare bankruptcy because then you're walking away from your debt. Well, you don't have to declare bankruptcy in that way. You can use it to manage your life. Does that help?
That's sort of how I'm seeing it, except, you know, I don't have a really good job, and I know I need to work on that. But there's so many things going on that that's just sort of low on the list.
Is your husband supporting you?
Yes, he is. He's paying alimony and child support.
Okay.
Well, the child support will end next year.
Right.
She's 19 because she's
right.
still in school.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just really hard because I'm just concerned about where I'm going to be living with what I could really afford.
Yeah.
You know, so that's part of the...
Right. So, yeah. So Susie, I think that what complicates this is, okay, you have all of these financial decisions to make. And, you know, when people get divorced, they think getting divorced is the hard part. But it's one of the hard parts. But afterwards, there's a lot to deal with that maybe you and your husband, you know, maybe split up and shared. So all of these financial things that you're having to deal with really, you know, really weigh on you because you said you're overwhelmed. So, and it also speaks to that there are so many layers of loss that come with
right.
divorce, with change, with your daughter growing up and moving out of the house. And so, you know, I'm wondering if that's contributing to, you know, how you're feeling overwhelmed, that there's this emotional overwhelming of, gosh, I'm not able to contain all of these things. And, I mean, you're seeking us for advice, and it sounds like you've talked to a lot of people. You said you've grieved, but have you talked, you know, have you continued to talk through those feelings of loss that you're experiencing?
Oh, I do, and I do it a lot, and I'm really good at that. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, I have really, you know, done a lot of that. And I've been in counseling through this whole thing,
okay.
through my divorce, and, you know, but not so much the finance. This is just sort of the leftovers.
Well, and I'm also hearing kind of a security question too. What's going to happen to me afterwards?
Yeah, that's
and
my,
and
my
a
biggest
house,
concern.
A house is security.
Well, if I lived in my means, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'd probably have to get a one bedroom or a studio.
Well, let me tell you what
I
would suggest. Just hearing okay. what you're going through. And that is, you don't have any painless options,
right?
Right?
Correct.
These are harmful. But what's getting you stuck, I think, is that there's some catastrophic thinking going on with you meaning there's kind of the unthinkable. What if I can't live in, my daughter and I can't live in even a decent place? And when we go to the unthinkable options, we get frozen, we get obsessive, we go in cycles, we get overwhelmed, we can't sleep, because the unthinkable obstacle is unthinkable. So what I want you to do with your counselor and your support group and prayer and all that is to come up with three or four painful, thinkable options. I can live with these. I can survive with these. Me and my daughter will make it, and then you'll choose one. But it's the kind of like horrible, catastrophic ones that are, I think, getting you stuck. And that's you know, you got the information you need, but it's mainly, okay, these would be tough, but we'll be okay. So play the tapes with three or four scenarios and pick the right one.
And one final piece of advice is probably the best advice of everything you've heard here, is to call Crown Ministries and say, you know what, no, I need some help here. Yeah. They will help you with the decision-making process. And then they'll also, it's painful, but it's glorious what they will do for your life so that you never get in this situation again.
That's right.
They understand it. They've been there. There's no shame. They don't bring you in and go, well, if you hadn't spent that money on that, you know, like your mom or dad.
Also, right. What Crown does is some decisions have already been made because they've done them 10,000 times.
Yeah.
And so it's not like we've got to reinvent the wheel. That's a nice thing.
Okay.
Well, and naming those options and sitting with that will then help you to become more comfortable
right.
with it.
Yep.
Right. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And then if you really, really do want to look at all the stuff that we do, go to that website, newlife.com. I think it can really give you a good insight as to what this ministry is all about. Let's go to Belinda from Mobile, Alabama. WBHY is the station. Hi there.
Hi.
What's going on with you today?
Well, I'm having trouble after 30 years of marriage. I've been divorced for 5. He was a narcissist and very controlling. My son is getting married this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And when I start thinking about what I'm going to wear, my ex pops in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to wear what's pleasing to him.
Okay.
And I know that's not true, but he's there.
Yeah.
How do I get rid of that?
How often do you run into him?
Rarely.
Okay.
This will be the first time we've seen each other in a long time.
Well, you know what my take is? That'd kind of be a normal thought.
Yeah.
Haven't seen him in a long time.
I want to look good.
You want to look good.
Are you kidding?
Don't want to look like a loser, you know, where he'd go, well, I guess I made a good decision.
Look what you missed out on.
Yeah.
I just think it's kind of a normal thing. It doesn't mean you want to go back and break up his marriage now and you want to marry him and all that. It's just kind of a normal reaction, I think.
It's more like the control thing.
Oh.
What yeah. I'm wearing.
That you feel like you need him to approve? Will
yes.
he be okay with what you're wearing?
Okay.
Are you acceptable?
All right, let's talk about
right.
that when we come back, all right?
Okay. Because
we do want you to get beyond that.
Grief and replacement when
yeah.
we come back.
All right. Glad you called. Hey, you're listening to New Life Live. We love getting to do this. We thank you for your prayers, and we thank you for your support. All of you who support us, that's why we're here. If you never have, please consider, could this be the time that you could support New Life? And call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back in just a minute. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was, it was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're talking to Belinda. We went from, well, normal thing, given the choice between when you're going to see your ex looking good or bad, well, I'd pick good. But Jill's brought up another issue, and John wants to talk about that too.
Well, yeah, Belinda, you were saying you still feel controlled by him. Whether he would approve or not approve of what you're wearing. So, you know, you're still kind of trying to get that acceptance from him. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you guys got divorced, so ultimately you were rejected by him. He didn't accept you. Even though we know it was for his issues, it can feel really bad. And it sounds like you're struggling with that.
Still
wanting that from him.
Yeah, Belinda, when people have a 30-year marriage to a narcissist, and I see this all the time clinically, is one of the hardest things to do is to grieve them instead of just kind of go, I'm so glad, I'm done, I'm out of here, I'm getting a new life. That was a trap. That was a prison. And we never grieve it. And so we are vulnerable to them popping up in our life in crazy ways later because it's kind of embarrassing to grieve a narcissist, really.
Do you relate to that? Do you connect with that?
Probably, yeah.
You sound like a matter-of-fact person to me, Belinda. You're kind of reality-based and sort of like, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. Is that how you are, sort of a reality-based person?
Yes.
Yeah, I get the feeling you're not sort of a highly emotional, dramatic person, correct?
No, not really.
Well, that's what I'm going to push you to do if you want to get this guy out of your head before the wedding.
You want me to do what?
I want you to... something you're probably excited
crazy,
about.
Are you crazy, John? Yeah. Don't ask her to feel.
God gave us a process called the grief process, Belinda. Now, the Bible says that Jesus was a man who was well acquainted with grief. It's in the book of Isaiah. And all the way through life, since we live in a fallen world, when we lose things, when we have losses, we lost childhood, lost marriage, lost money, lost job... our tendency is to go, well, forget that, move on, I'll get busy. And you sound like that kind of person. I understand that. But that's not God's way. God's way is I got to sit down with somebody who loves me and say, I'm really sad. I had a 30-year marriage, and I've got to feel some sad feelings about that. And that will flush the man out of your system so you can have a good time at the wedding and not worry about what you wear.
You get it?
So maybe you might have to start, Belinda, by writing down all the things that are sad about this situation. You know, even that your son is getting married.
And wish we could have been together.
Right.
And that that's perfect.
So write down all those things and then call your best friend and meet her and read it to her.
Now, does it sound like we're talking Martian right now, Belinda?
Hold on.
Oops, did we lose Belinda?
Belinda, does it sound like Martian?
She left.
Does it sound like Martian, no. Belinda?
A little.
Look, you're calling a counseling show. What do you think?
Well, that's why, Belinda, that's why I'm saying, you know, okay, then if you're a matter-of-fact person, write it down, make a list.
Matter-of-factly.
Right, yes.
Okay,
you've got the ideas out. But then when you read it slowly, you know, to your friend, allow yourself to feel.
Okay, now, I want you to get in touch with your inner Hulk. And I want to ask you,
Are you a little bit ticked that here your son is getting married and you guys have to do this divorce spouse thing?
I guess.
Because, you know, a lot of people are really not happy about the fact, here we are, here he's going to come down with his wife, and here I am, and I'm not married, and that just that whole messy thing of going through a marriage, and we're divorced, sitting on different rows or whatever. I think there, if there is anger over that, then you've got to process that anger in that grief process.
So there may be more than one emotion, you're saying, Steve?
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. What are you grinning about?
But because I'm feeling for Belinda. She goes, yeah. I guess. Which is typical of a person who's a matter of fact person. When you say, gosh, are you mad about this? Are you sad about this? I don't know. I moved on and I got busy and I started working
all
out.
All I care
more.
Is what I'm going
to
wear.
And I understand that. And that's why God allows obsessional thoughts to come in our head. When we can't feel our feelings, our thoughts go crazy.
Yeah.
So the obsessional thought is, says, do you want to have a circular thought that you can't knock out about looking good for this guy, or do you want to deal with some pain and get it resolved?
Right.
And we have to go to the feelings. That's just it's the physics of why he said to do this.
Hey, let's address, you said that God gives us this grieving process. But the irony is that oftentimes in the Christian world, our religiosity keeps us out of the grief process. God's going, you know, God's in control. Yeah. I'm trusting God.
You
know,
I need to forgive.
Get the big picture here, you see?
Yeah.
Because in Revelation, he wins, so don't be sad.
Yeah. And when you're in that religiosity, Christiosity denial, you don't know you are. But somebody might nudge you and say, hey, you need to cry here. You need to express your anger.
Well, and weddings anyway just bring up emotion. Even if she was together with her spouse. Weddings bring up feelings. It's a good event, but it brings up feelings in all directions.
It's just
directions.
The nature of it. Most of the time I find that Christians that do that sort of cheerleader thing where they ignore the rest of the Bible and just go to the end game so you can be happy, they're managing their anxiety. Mm-hmm. They get around a sad person and they think, uh-oh, that might get me in touch with my own bad marriage or whatever. I might get the virus of sadness. Mm-hmm. So let's think
or
Romans 8:28
again. The
virus
of divorce.
I have no idea where I heard this, but... you're talking about bringing up the emotion. This guy said weddings are an event where almost everybody goes and thinks about themselves.
That's really good.
Their experience,
really true,
their feelings.
Instead of all about the bride and groom.
Yeah.
You mean, it evokes that. It evokes that.
That makes sense.
I don't know who said it, and since I don't, I can put it in my next book and just claim it. I won't do that. All right.
I remember when I was, I was single, because I was single a long time, and every time I went to a wedding, I would cry about, and haven't found anybody. And my married friend, I knew her a long time, she went, the reason I'm not crying is because I'm married. And I went, oh, yeah, I get it. I mean, so you're totally right, because it evokes all these longings and desires, the very deep desires in us.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, if you have the desire to get better, we have a resource. It's called Finding Freedom. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll tell you all about it, or go to newlife.com. We also have Every Man's Battle, where men go and reclaim their sexual integrity. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a sex addict or not. It's just for people that are struggling with lust and struggling with staying faithful, struggling with pornography, whatever it is. It really is a big help.
I also want to remind everybody that in 2020, we're going to take a Rhine River cruise together. We do a trip every year. You need to get on board with this early, because the rooms are going. It's much smaller than the ship than we normally take, because it's a river cruise, and you will love this experience. Myle and Kay are going to go. I'll be there teaching, and I can't wait. We've been wanting to do this for a long time. It's going to be a very, very special trip. Our theme is proclaiming God's greatness from Psalm 145. And about 30 cabins left. So call us right now. Come join us for the New Life trip in 2020.
We need your help to stay on this station, to stay where you either see us or hear us. We need support. We need prayer support. We need financial support. And so I'm asking you to do something that some people don't do for 10 years. We were just talking to a gentleman named Brian who for 10 years listened to the program. One day he felt led to support the program. Maybe this is your day to support the program so we can stay on and try to reach people with God's truth and transformation and motivate people to reconnect in a way maybe they never have before.
1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number. My thanks to Dr. John Townsend. Thank you, John. Always love being with you. Dr. Jill Hubbard, thank you for everything. We love you. We care about you. We pray for you. You're part of our family. And that's right, I don't know specifically who I'm talking to, but I do know many people that are out there that we love and we care about and we want the best for you. Maybe this is the day to make a decision where you get to experience God's best. We pray that for you today. See you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.